April 27th, 2014, Sunday morning service. Today we are going to study from Hebrews chapter 2, verse 10. For it was fitting for him, for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons to glory, to make the captain of their salvation and perfect through sufferings. I want to focus on the meaning of the glory, where he says, you're bringing many sons unto glory. For the Olympics, winning the first place in the marathon is glorious. Winning the gold medal is glorious, since not everyone can receive it. You never hear that three people sharing the gold medal. Only the winner, one person, can receive it, and that's why it's glorious. But God's glory is much more glorious than the Olympic medal. If you go back to the prior section, it explains about the glory a bit more. Let's go back to verse 7 on the same chapter. You have made him a little lower than the angels. You have crowned him with glory and honor, and set him over the works of your hands. This is about Jesus when he was in a human form, and he was lower than the angels. And as you read the Bible, it is clear that we are lower than the angels, and Jesus was once lower than the angels too, since he came as a human being. You know about the caste system in India, and the lowest of the caste is called the untouchable, and if one of the higher class mingle with the lower class people, that person also becomes the lower caste by association. So Jesus came to be a human and lived among us. Jesus did receive glory and honor, and now is seated at the right hand of the Father. But not while he was alive as a human. They judged him guilty, stripped his clothes, and then did all evil things. So the glory we are talking about was not in this life, it was in the life to come. And the verse 10 we just read says, bringing many sons to glory. This means that we, the children of God, are entering the glory too. And I feel that the verse 10 implies that for us to enter the glory also requires us to share the suffering with the Lord. To receive the honor in the next life, suffering is required, because that's what Jesus went through. We have to choose one, honor in this life or honor in the next life. I don't think we can do double dipping by taking easy lives from both sides. Verse 11, for both he who sanctifies and those who are being sanctified are all of one. For which reason he is not ashamed to call them brethren. Here again, it confirms that we are like the Christ, and we are to live and suffer like Christ. And it says that he is not ashamed to call them brethren. And you know that Jesus did not call everyone brethren or brothers. In other words, Jesus called some people his brothers, and others weren't called his brothers, because Jesus was ashamed of them. Let's look at the word of the book of John, chapter 20, verse 17. Jesus said to her, do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. Those who Jesus called his brothers were his disciples, and he did not call thousands of other people his brothers. But now the Lord is willing to call us his brothers or brethren, as written in Hebrews. That should mean something. There were thousands of people who heard Jesus, saw miracles, and followed him around, and they all left him, and Jesus did not call them his brothers. And those who stayed with Jesus, even when it was dangerous, like following him all the way to Jerusalem and being ready to die with him, for those Jesus called them his brothers. Peter also followed him all the way to the court, and although he denied Jesus, the Lord knew his heart. It might happen to us too, that our speech betrays our heart because of fear, but the Lord knows our heart. Lord will bring his children to his glory in the life to come, but it is not for everyone. I believe those who share the glory is those who stay with him till the very end. And also Jesus mentioned about being one, for it says in the book of Hebrews, who are being sanctified are all of one. This oneness, the Lord also said in the book of John chapter 17 verse 11, this is during the Last Supper. Now I am no longer in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to you. Holy Father, keep through your name, whom you have given me, that they may be one as we are. This Jesus is talking about his disciples. This is his speech given to his disciples a day before he died. So I do believe that this whole section tells us who should be called brother by Jesus and who should be one with the Lord, which implies our absolute need to share the suffering with the Lord for us to have his glory in the life to come. Verse 12, saying, I will declare your name to my brethren. In the midst of the assembly, I will sing praise to you. This is from Psalm 22, verse 22. When there is an excerpt from other section of the Bible, we should always look up that part in order to comprehend the story better. So let's look up Psalm 22. I will declare your name to my brethren. In the midst of the assembly, I will praise you. The psalm is about Christ's suffering, so when the Lord called you a brother in the middle of suffering, that means a lot. In the verse 6 of the psalm, it says, But I am a worm and no man, a reproach of men, and despised by the people. All those who see me ridicule me. They shoot out the lip. They shake the head, saying, He trusted in the Lord. Let him rescue him. Let him deliver him, since he delights in him. This is exactly what happened when the Lord was crucified. His disciples were not crucified with Jesus, but their heart was with the Lord till the very end. And although I don't think we will ever have to be crucified like Jesus, we should follow him like the other disciples did, so that we could also be called brothers by the Lord. Now back to the Hebrews, verse 13. And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, here am I, and the children whom God has given me. This one is another excerpt from Isaiah 8:17. And I will wait on the Lord, who hides his face from the house of Jacob, and I will hope in him. Here am I, and the children whom the Lord has given me. We are for signs and wonders in Israel, from the Lord of hosts, who dwells in Mount Zion. In the same chapter of Isaiah 8:11 says, For the Lord spoke thus to me, with a strong hand, and instructed me that I should not walk in the way of this people, saying, Do not say a conspiracy concerning all that this people call a conspiracy, nor be afraid of their threats, nor be troubled. The Lord of hosts, him you shall hallow, let him be your fear, and let him be your dread. This is about people being led astray, as it says, I should not walk in the way of this people. So if we go with the wrong teaching or the trend of the church rather than with the leading of the Lord, you may not be called a brother by the Lord. He might even be ashamed to call you a brother. The Bible has multiple meanings, so when we read the word, not being ashamed to call his disciples brothers, we have to know that he is ashamed to call some other people as his brothers. So we ought to be faithful to him in time of peace and also when we are going through hardship. When you're popular, people do come around you, but when you're not popular, who will still stay with you? Same thing for Jesus. That is what we are asked to do, to be faithful to him, even unto death. Going back to the Hebrews, verse 14. Inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared in the same, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is the devil, and release those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Here the children with flesh and blood is about us human. The Satan's angels don't have the body like us, and they are superior to us in every way. But Jesus came to earth in flesh and blood to help us. Human had been deceived by the devil since Adam and Eve, and did not see a way out of the deception, and kept walking in the path of destruction. We have seen the paintings of Jesus with soft and gentle face, but this is just flesh and blood that he put on while he was on earth to save us. And the reality is that he is equal to God and in heaven. There was a train accident in Shin-Okubo. A drunk man fell off the train from the train platform onto the truck, and two men jumped down to save him. The guy who fell off first was saved, but two men died when the train came. The two men who went down were not drunk, but they chose to go down and have to go down to save the one who had fallen off. It's like that. Jesus had to come down for us. The Bible says the human is a very low and powerless being, but God chose to come down to become this lower being, and by his death, he sets us free from the power of death and sins. So we have to understand the meaning of sin and death from the biblical perspective. And after the fall of Adam and Eve, death came into our lives, but Jesus set us free from fear of death and the bondage of sins. For indeed he does not give aid to angels, but he does give aid to the seed of Abraham. Therefore, in all things he had to be made like his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people. Again, the word brethren or brother is used. You have to be the disciples of the Lord to be called brothers. Yes, it is true that Jesus left us all the spiritual inheritance, but we have to know that we also have our part. God seldom reveals everything to us. He always shows us bits and pieces. Bible is like that. Not everything is written, so we have to read into it and then understand the real hidden message from it. And here, high priest is a human who is a mediator between people and God. So he was human like us, in communion with God. For that, let's look at Leviticus chapter 9, verse 7, for a definition of high priest. And Moses said to Aaron, "Go to the altar, offer your sin offering and your burnt offering, and make atonement for yourself and for the people. Offer the offering of the people and make atonement for them as the Lord commanded." So Aaron went and offered the sin offering for the sins of God's people. Not everyone could do it. You had to be high priest, as the Bible says repeatedly. And since Aaron was human, he used animal and its blood for sin offering and cleansing for the sins of people and himself. But when Christ came, He used his own blood. Then go back to Hebrews 18. For in that he himself has suffered, being tempted, he is able to aid those who are tempted. So Jesus came as a human being, not in a superior body like Superman. So the Lord understands temptation and mercy for those who are tempted. Before I had 9-to-5 job, and I was also serving the Lord, so I somewhat understand the difficulty of it, and also the dilemma you experience while you're working in the world. People drink and expect you to drink, and then there are people who do also all sorts of crazy things. But I had to draw a line. And I know Jesus understands that we people are all tempted by Satan, because he was tempted by Satan in the wilderness too. So I do feel his patience towards us and his mercy for our suffering. So if we slip and fall, he is merciful. We should not be willfully live in sin, but if we slip by mistake and repent, I do believe that he understands. But what we can learn from the gospel is for us to obtain the promise of Jesus is to imitate the 12 disciples, that we have to be a partaker of his suffering, to be a partaker of his glory and the honor.